You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
President Trump's lies led to a bloody, deadly insurrection. Why would they ever let him back on to peddle more of the crap?
There are a lot of members of this board that are free speech advocates, First Amendment absolutists in some cases, that are going to make an argument that these platforms should not be in the position of making these choices at all. If Trump is brought back on Facebook, it'll likely be for those reasons.
They would likely be for those reasons, as you mean the First Amendment. That's Brian Stelter of CNN and Allison Camerlata or something like that, a news anchor. Why would they let Trump on to peddle more lies? Other liberals have been saying, why would we let Mussolini be on the radio? I mean, they stretch it so far all the time, saying Trump is the one who exaggerates and lies. All of this, of course, tied to the decision yesterday by the Facebook Oversight Board, which was created and put in place by Facebook to supposedly police it and make sure it was done properly and so forth. And if they removed anybody, they had just cause, they were fully transparent. Well, the board said you didn't do any of that. You violated your own rules. But we're going to give you another 6 months to figure it out. So in the meantime, yes, Donald Trump is banned from that platform and other social media outlets are doing their own. And the fallout continues. Keep in mind, progressives at this point are doing their very darnest to transform our nation. It should be good to note, I say it should be good to note, that today is National Day of Prayer. President Biden signed that declaration, that resolution earlier. And I do believe the nation could use a lot of prayer. But there are a couple things that Biden has done regarding the resolution and the National Day of Prayer, which was not exactly what Harry S. Truman had in mind when he signed the first resolution for our National Day of Prayer. We'll get into that a little bit later. There is a battle inside the GOP party. The focus now on Congresswoman Elizabeth Cheney of Wyoming versus Trump. But is the battle really just the personalities between the two of them? Or is it Cheney's anti-Trump agenda? And Trump has already come out and said for leadership in the GOP, the House, he said, I'm going to go with Stefanik of New York. And it's pretty amazing to watch the liberal media suddenly fawn over and praise and lift up Liz Cheney. She is, of course, the first daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney and his wife. But the question is, again, is it just personalities between her and Trump? Or is she really doing anything good for the GOP? There's an interesting analysis. We'll get into that for you. You know, there are numerous cases where we keep hearing calls to defund police. The governor of Florida is doing something above and beyond. I absolutely love it. I applaud it. Governor DeSantis said, we are not going to listen to this defund police in this state. He said, we're going to give every first responder, 174,000 of them in Florida, a $1,000 check. He said, we're going to help fund the police and reward them, and not just the police, the firemen, all first responders, for everything they do for our community. I think that's outstanding. There are numerous black Americans, Democrats, that say Obama did not do enough for them, that he failed, in fact, for some of them. They expected a lot more, certainly in Chicago. They expected more than a free Obama phone and the false rhetoric. We will have shovel-ready jobs when, in fact, they were not ready, and Obama kind of laughed about it. And I'm looking and thinking now, with everything Biden is doing, trying to appease the progressives, and then once he's shoved aside and VP Harris becomes President Harris, you watch how fast things escalate at that point. So against that backdrop, with everything Biden is doing now already, what the progressives want to do for our nation as a whole, and what their plans are, riddle me this. Don't get angry with me. Don't get angry. I want you to hear this out. Riddle me this. Did you ever think, I wish we had Obama back? That's coming up in the next segment. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I've been holding out so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Madam Chairwoman, delegates, I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
Obviously, a very exciting night, that taking place September 6, 2012, at Charlotte, North Carolina, as President Obama accepted the nomination to run again, 4 more years. The crowd obviously enthused. Many Americans who voted for him the first time did not vote for him the second time, and many who voted against him the first time did vote for him the second time. It was all in the perspective of what he did for the country. And of course, he had a message that he continued to push, and that was hope. We'll get into that in more details. But the question for many they've been asking constantly, did he really help? Did he really deliver at any point? We've had numerous stories out of Chicago directly that many of those in Chicago, particularly the area, the black community area, areas where Obama spent a lot of time, they expected, I guess, streets paid with gold. That's a stretch in imagination. I don't think they did that. But they did expect that we'd see more. There'd be money spent on infrastructure, which wasn't spent. Not only not in Chicago, but in anywhere, nowhere else. Nowhere else was real money put into infrastructure to help the inner core cities. where we have all the poverty and the crime in many cases. You know who did end up doing that? Donald Trump. Trump pushed forward with the help of other black activists joining him, and some of them got condemned in the process. Said, why are you siding with Trump? Because he's helping our community, and that's what we want. That's what we do. And, of course, many of them got slandered and slurred, called racial tones, terms, and so forth. Obama had 8 years to do that. He did not do it. Trump started moving on it immediately when he got into office. The other thing that came in the midst of all of that is that if you look at where we are now on illegal immigration at the border, it is a crisis. It is a crisis. In fact, I would say, compared to where we are now to when Obama was in office, that was really a small little blip on the screen during Obama. Now, at the time, we thought it was pretty big, and it was for a few months, but then it kind of got in control, and Obama really was doing a not an extraordinary job, and I wouldn't say a complete job of securing our border, but he was doing more than what some wanted. And deportations, and putting kids into cages, and separating families, all the stuff they dumped on Trump, Obama did too. You remember the pictures when Trump was in office, they're showing the kids, quote, in the cages. And in many cases, they were showing pictures of kids in those cages during the Obama administration. But where we are now, Biden is basically letting progressives rule the day. And the crisis on our border is not just illegal immigration. It's what the drug and human smuggling cartels are doing and accomplishing and invading the U.S. as well. I've got a guest coming up later. We'll be talking about that. John Daniel Davidson with Federalist did an extensive piece on that. I want to share that before we wrap up today. So if you look at where we are now compared to where we were with Obama, again, I raise the question as I did a moment ago. Don't get angry with me. Just take it in context. Do you kind of wish, I wish we had Obama back in? Now, of course, some have been saying, well, getting Biden in, that's really Obama's third term because supposedly they're talking a lot on the phone from time to time. Now, we're not told who initiates the call, but the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, has said, oh, they talk often. They're not saying how often, and again, who initiates and what the conversation's about. And we're not hearing if Obama's talking to other senior people at the White House, maybe VP Harris or others, and not really with Biden. Oh, by the way, he said something that night in Charlotte, North Carolina, when he said, I accept the party's nomination. He said something about Biden that I want to share before we wrap up this segment. But let's go back to what he was promising and what he was pushing. And if you recall, there was one word that came up often. And before you hear that, I want to give you an insight from someone else who's stepped forward and has been criticizing him. That would be Chris Rock, obviously famed comedian. Here's what he said in a New York Times wide-ranging interview, which was published Wednesday. Was it yesterday? Yep. Says, Obama becoming the president is progress for white people. It's not progress for black people. In fact, he goes on to say it's the Jackie Robinson thing. It's written like he broke a barrier, as if there weren't black people that could play before him. And Chris Rock continued. He said, that's how white people have learned about racism. They think when these people work hard enough, they'll be like Jackie Robinson. He said, the real narrative should be, I give him credit for this. I mean, it's very witty, whether or not you agree. Yeah, and you know, I want to say one moment. Even if you disagree with someone and they're on the opposite side of your views, you should give them credit when they're witty and they're sharp and they bring up some issues that maybe you hadn't looked at from that perspective. But Chris Rock went on to say the real narrative should be that these people, the black people, are being abused by a group of people that are mentally handicapped. And they're trying to get past their mental, or he said, we're trying to get past their mental handicaps to see that all people are equal. To that extent, I applaud Chris Rock. Yes, that's exactly where we need to be, that all people are equal. So again, going back to that night in Charlotte, North Carolina, as President Obama stepped forward and talked about accepting his party's nomination for another 4 years, he talked again about his dreams, his visions.
Now, the first time I addressed this convention in 2004, I was a younger man. A Senate candidate from Illinois who spoke about hope. Not blind optimism, not wishful thinking, but hope in the face of difficulty. Hope in the face of uncertainty. That dogged faith in the future which has pushed this nation forward, even when the odds are great, even when the road is long.
And that's true. I mean, that was the campaign slogan that came with the first election. Of course, remember, he had to go against Hillary in the primary. And Hillary was incensed because it was her time. In her mind, it was her time. And then we suddenly have this young black senator, fresh new senator out of Illinois that suddenly is up in front of her. And, of course, some of it, a lot of the vote had to be with, it is time we have a black president. And Bill Clinton had to be told, no, you were not the first black president, because he thought he was in some cases. And Bill Clinton cost Hillary a lot of support as well, because apparently it's been documented by numerous reports that he had a meeting with Ted Kennedy at the time, Senator Ted Kennedy, trying to get him to throw your weight and money behind Hillary. Now, I don't know if Bill wanted to just go do that conversation or that Hillary said, Monica, you owe me. Okay. But what he said to Kennedy was supposedly something like, Ted, you know that guy, that Obama guy, there would have been a time he'd been stepping and fetching us coffee, or words to that effect. Kennedy didn't like it one bit and shut everything down. Also gives you the underbelly thoughts, I guess. Or maybe it's just political speech. So Obama wins the primary and then goes on to win the election and then is facing the second election. So Chris Rock again, back to his comment, saying that, again, the election of Obama was not good for black people. It was not progress, I should say. He said it was not progress for black people. It's progress for white people. That's Chris Rock's take on it. He also added this. He started talking about, he said we had conversations with comedy colleague David Chappelle. And he said, we were kind of knocking President Trump by comparing Trump to a landlord and explaining we're in the predicament because no one has less compassion for humans than a landlord. That's probably true in many cases, but not all the time. Rock also blasted House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, and other Democrats. Why? He went after them because they were making a priority to impeach Trump. And he basically accused those Democrats of doing that. And remember, we had that same argument at the time. They, the Democrats, let coronavirus into the country because they're spending all their capital and effort to get rid of Trump. And Chris Rock compared Trump to a five-year-old. Listen, when I start sharing this stuff, I don't just give you sugar-coated nice things all the time because I'm going to try to give it to you both ways. I spent 50-plus years in news journalism. I have still a basic fabric of being fair. So I want to try to make sure you hear all the sides and both sides. But Chris Rock likened Trump to the 1987 film The Last Emperor. Did you see it? He points out that in that movie, The Last Emperor, where a five-year-old is suddenly the emperor of China. He said, there's a kid and he's the king. So I'm like, it's all the Democrats' fault because you knew that the emperor was only 5 years old. And when the emperor's 5 years old, only leads in theory. There's usually an adult who like us says, okay, this is what we're going to do. And it was totally up to Pelosi and the Democrats. Their thing was, quote, we're going to get him impeached, which was never going to happen. Again, those words from Chris Rock. And then he said, you, the Democrats, you let the pandemic come in. Yes, we can blame Trump, but he's the five-year-old. You're the one to blame. And of course, I mentioned earlier that Obama that night in Charlotte made some very fine, strong support comments for Joe Biden. Listen.
And Joe Biden, thank you for being the very best vice president I could have ever hoped for and being a strong and loyal friend.
That sounded good, but when Biden was actually running for president, well, it was kind of shut down. Rock added one other thing, Chris Rock. He said, put it this way, Republicans tell outright lies. Democrats leave out key pieces of the truth that would lead to a more nuanced argument. In a sense, it's all fake news. Ain't it the truth? New developments concerning pro-life. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, there's news out of Texas. I took note of it yesterday, and maybe you did as well. It's called the Heartbeat Bill. It would ban abortions at 6 weeks. It's nearing passage. Lawmakers are certainly expected to go ahead and move forward with it. Sweeping restrictions on access to abortions, prohibiting the procedure before many women would know they are pregnant. Opening the door, they say, for a potential flood of lawsuits against abortion providers. So the House approving a priority heartbeat bill. It's already been passed by the Senate. It's been authored or co-sponsored by nearly every Republican senator, more than 60 members of the Texas House. Now it's being reviewed for final markup, then goes to the governor, and yes, Governor Abbott's ready to sign it. The abortion rights advocates say all of this is among the most extreme measures nationwide. Beyond the limitations on abortion access, it would let nearly anyone, including those with no connection to the doctor or the woman, sue abortion providers and others who get an abortion in violation of the proposed law. Yeah, there are some things in there that are probably going to be challenged right away. The main thing they're doing, though, is basically if you detect a heartbeat, you cannot abort. You've got a baby. But, of course, there are those on the other side that say that's just going to be bad all the way around. It's going to defeat the whole purpose of Roe v. Wade, and they're under challenge. Texas is not the only state that has moved forward with heartbeat laws. Kentucky, Mississippi had them. They got invalidated by the courts at this point. Several states have been looking and proposing heartbeat laws. Some passing, Ohio, Georgia, Louisiana, Missouri, Alabama, Kentucky. And, of course, the battle continues as to can they be upheld. You're always going to hear, I would say not always, but often the question is, well, are you going to at least allow abortions for if the mom's life is in danger? Most folks, even who are pro-life, will accept that that could be a good determining factor to allow an abortion. If it's incest, if it's rape, some of these are going to come down to some personal things with you that you think, you know, I'm I'm pro-life, but, you know, if it's a child raped by her father, I mean, should the child have to carry that baby? I mean, and you get in some very deep, deep discussions and arguments back and forth, very emotional. And even though you might have, and I do certainly have a strong opinion on this, I certainly believe that we should not have abortions. And in fact, I've always gone along the line that if you could detect a heartbeat, then that should be adequate proof if you are going to, quote, believe the science, which we're always told. If there's a heartbeat, well, then obviously you've got a living being. The Texas bill, at least the one that came out of the Senate, bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat can be detected, but it doesn't specify a time frame. Legislative analysts and proponents say that could be as early as 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Well, obviously, it's all going to be under contest. The women who make a decision to have an abortion, in some cases, it might be callous, just indifferent. You know, to them, it's just an inconvenience. For others, it's a hard decision, and it weighs on them, and they may later regret it or maybe still glad they did do it. I'm not taking anything away from any woman who's going through that struggle. But I would say if your concern is that maybe you're not going to be able to take care of the baby or something of that nature, there are groups available to help. I bring that up and I push it because, again, this is the National Day of Prayer. And this nation is a total, and is each and every individual of this nation, we need to be praying. Take a break when we come back. You know, the Republicans are always accused of outlandish remarks. Do the Democrats ever look in the mirror? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rodler Pest Solutions immediately. Rodler, family owned and operated for 3 generations. If you've never used Rodler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rodler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rodler, 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, the Taliban, the people who wanted to do harm to our nation and to our way of life and our democracy, they got nothing on what this Republican Party is doing. The idea that a member of their party, of their leadership, whose last name is Cheney, could be purged from their leadership for telling the truth about January 6th. For telling the truth about a violent insurrection that claimed the lives of among them, a Capitol Police officer.
Well, that is an analyst appearing on MSNBC, a former advisor to the Lincoln Project, which went belly up with sex scandals and so forth. His name, Kirk Bardella, appearing on MSNBC. And, of course, he made a point, his main point, in the midst of telling his own lies and fabrications, I'll break it down for you, is that the Republican Party the Republican Party is a bigger threat to our nation than terrorists. Really. Bigger than Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, the Taliban. Have we had Republicans I have missed that have been flying planes into various buildings, killing thousands? Have I missed that somewhere? Or is that just a little bit of a stretch, if not an out-and-out lie himself? But he didn't get challenged. The rest of them on the panel with him at the time, they didn't do anything. And that included the host, Joy Reid. It's her program, The Readout. They just let him say that. They will mock anyone that says anything that they disagree with, but she sat there and let him say, I've been thinking, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, the Taliban, the people who wanted to harm our nation, our way of life, our democracy, they got nothing on what this Republican Party is doing. Now, let's, in addition to his exaggerations, let's go through the lies. He's talking about that the Republican purging a member of the party leadership, Liz Cheney. I'll come to that in just a moment. But he said they're purging Cheney for telling the truth about January 6th. For telling the truth about a violent insurrection. It was not an insurrection. It was wrong. It should not have happened. There's no justification for it, but it was not an insurrection. An insurrection would be actually trying to overthrow the government. Nobody went in there armed. In fact, if you recall, even though we were told a lot of folks in there might have guns, Secret Service, Capitol Hill Police, everybody involved said, no, we found no weapons, like nothing. No guns, no knives, maybe some sticks or things of that nature that could have been used. Hell, Antifa uses those all the time. Are they really considered weapons? Because in many cases, when they're arrested for battling police with them, they're later let go. But there was no insurrection. They weren't trying to overthrow. They were certainly voicing their displeasure with the results of the vote and how the election went down. But then he also adds this violent insurrection that claimed the lives of, among others, a Capitol police officer. Again, that's a lie. He wants you to believe in the way he tells it, a Capitol police officer was killed by this group. Those were the original stories. The officer got hit in the head by a fire extinguisher. After weeks and months, we began to realize that there was no such fire extinguisher. It didn't happen. His own brother said, I talked to him that night when he got back to the station, said, no, I'm fine. I got hit with some bear spray, but I'm fine. The final autopsy said he had cardiac arrest two different times. Now, would he have had that health issue if he hadn't been out in the street and all excited and anxious? I don't know, and you don't either. But the, quote, event that happened, if that claimed the lives, his life for that, with all due respect, even if it's a relative of mine, my father, a brother, I'd say, their health was going bad before then. This just accelerated it, and something should have been done before then, but maybe they saw no problem. And then the other lives that got claimed, every one of them were health-related, except for one who was killed by Capitol Police, the woman who went through the window trying to enter the chamber. And the Capitol Police officer thought, I cannot let her in here. She got a backpack. She's already gone through two or three barriers to get here. I cannot let her in. He fired one shot. The shot blew her back out of the window, and she later died. That is the only death. But they would have you believe they were going to go in there and assault members of Congress. And some might have if they got in there. I'm not going to deny that's possible. But it didn't happen. Can you stick to the facts rather than what you want to say were the facts? All right, so this issue about Liz Cheney. The issue has been that Liz Cheney, and of course, when he says, and I think he worded it, a member of their own party whose last name is Cheney could be purged from leadership. You know why he's stressing that. Liz Cheney, the older daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney. That's why he's saying Dick Cheney's always been a stable part of the GOP party. Well, not lately, because Dick Cheney, along with his daughter Liz Cheney, congresswoman from Montana, have both made it clear they're not Trump supporters. Dick Cheney served as 46th Vice President of the U.S. from 2001 to 2009 under George W. Bush. Often cited as most powerful vice president in American history. I'm sure Biden didn't want to hear that. But I'm looking at a piece written by a national correspondent, John Ward, and he said, Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney, the third-ranking Republican in the House of Representatives, are drawing on significant political capital and decades of experience to attack the president's false claims of vote stealing and his undemocratic effort to overturn the election. Well, you could tell that attitude and that writing already paints a picture on it. If he were really trying to be a decent, legitimate reporter, he could have reported everything up to the point that they're trying to attack the president's claims of false vote, but he had to put in false claims. And he could have said the effort to overturn the election, but he had to add the undemocrat effort. So obviously the writer had that view, but he's right about that. They were going after Trump, and they have been. So is it just personalities, or is there something more at stake? Molly Hemingway, senior editor at The Federalist.
A lot of people want to make this about Trump, and that's not really what this is about. The conference chair role is a leadership role. It is one where you need to be serving everybody in the caucus. Liz Cheney had recently survived a leadership vote, but there has been a lot of frustration about how she has undermined her caucus, her fellow caucus members. She supported primary opponents. She's not good at raising money for them. And she falls for every single media and Democrat narrative that comes along.
Yeah, that is true, and that is where the real break is. That's why she is suddenly the darling of the what used to be mainstream media, but as I've told you, should relabel it now to state-controlled media. Liz Cheney's a Republican. The left has never liked Dick Cheney. They didn't really like Liz Cheney, but now that she's, maybe she's opposing Trump and she's a leadership position that they're trying to remove, they suddenly think, oh, she's great. Trump has already moved forward because as they are trying to push her out of the chair, the House Republican Conference chair, trying to push her out, Trump has already come forward and said he's endorsing New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. He said, I think that's what we need is Elise Stefanik. And I'm looking at a piece that Fox Brett Baer pointed out. He said, if you track Congress in the age of Trump, Liz Cheney, voted with Trump 92.9% of the time compared to Stefanik only 77.7%. But, at the other hand, Stefanik, apparently is more in tune with the party. And you heard Molly Hemingway say, it's not just personality, it's what are you doing for us? And apparently she's failing in that sense. So again, when you start looking at the push to move her out, and you get somebody like this former Lincoln Project advisor, Kurt Bardella, saying that the GOP is worse than the world's terrorists attacking us, well, he thinks, again, just because they're going after Cheney, this is again proving that the GOP is anti-democratic for our nation, in fact, against our nation. Listen to this.
That anti-democratic forces are hijacking this party, purging one of the members who won't abide by the party line. That is so detrimental and dangerous. We are a two-party system in this country. That's how it was built, for better or worse. When one of those two parties becomes this radicalized and the core of the party's ideology is anti-democratic, that is a very dangerous development going on that's going to result in more violence, that's going to result in more attempts to overthrow our government, that's going to result in people losing lives just like January 6th.
Until you mentioned January 6th, I was thinking he's talking about what we saw happen with Antifa and the rest of them in our streets this last summer. And a section of the party that's so anti-America that is wrestling control of the other, kind of like the progressives have with the left. Is that No, surely he did not mean that. Surely not. I did not call you Shirley. Stop it right there. We've got parents upset all across the nation because their kids, now they're finally in school, have to keep masks on, and the parents are saying, enough, enough, enough. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Winder, I move that we adjourn this meeting.
I'll second. We have a motion to adjourn and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Say aye. They were saying, let's stop our meeting right here because the parents are going wild in here. It was a school board meeting. In Utah, the Granite School District Board of Education meeting. Utah has issued a public health order still requiring masks to be worn inside all of its K through 12 schools through June 15th, or the end of the school year, whichever is sooner. Elsewhere, the state in Utah, the coronavirus restrictions and mask mandates have been lifted. So the citizens came forward and were making their statements. And then finally the board decided, we've heard enough from you folks. We've taken enough of your comments. And that is what set it off, saying you haven't heard from all of one of them who did speak before the meeting was shut down as they decided we'll just adjourn. She said, one size does not fit all. And adults who have higher risk should not project their fears or expect the youth to carry the burden of those fears. Does that make sense to you? It does to me. They did allow two speakers that really got the crowd upset because they were also all in favor of more masks forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. One of them being a Democrat state senator, Reby, I believe is the pronunciation. They let her talk when they had told the citizens, okay, we're done listening to you. And they were upset. You let a legislator speak instead of us. We're the ones, you serve us. In fact, one grabbed the microphone and said, you let a senator come up here and speak in the name of my children who you guys are abusing. Are you serious? And that's when it began to escalate. And they decided, everybody in favor of calling, putting an end, say aye, aye, aye. And they're on the way out. Board members, district employees, and got escorted to their cars by police officers acting as security. No one had threatened them, but they were fearful. Okay, they were fearful. You know, this is happening all over. We got parents all over protesting against mask mandates for these schools, Utah being one of them. The situation has gotten so bad for school leaders because they've had to battle the COVID issue, how to deal with that, and now what, you know, their states are ordering them to do, and then they've got parents really angry with them, and you got some of the legislators and those in power telling what kids have to do, and then they go ignore it. We got resignations everywhere. Three of the largest publics, and of course, just trying to get the kids back in, dealing with the teachers' unions who, when the CDC said you can go back, and many of the teachers' union bosses said, nope, nope, not until we get this and this and this and this. The CEO of the Chicago Public Schools, the third largest school district in the U.S., announcing this week, I'm leaving. She's finishing up. This is her last. She said, I'm walking out of here. Now, some weeks ago, the L.A. Unified School District superintendent also said, I'm stepping down when my contract's over June 30th. I'm not going to deal with it anymore. The largest school district in the nation, the chancellor, New York City, has said he's stepping down. He said, I'm being criticized for how we're trying to reopen the schools or not reopen them. I mean, you know, they're caught in a hard spot, obviously. Well, so are the kids. So are the parents and the kids. So is everyone. this mask mandate thing that just keeps being shoved in your face. Even Fauci, I don't know if they're going to believe him this time or not, but he's looking at the CDC guidelines for summer camps. You're outside, kids outside. You're still going to have to wear a mask. Even Fauci said, seems a little restrictive, but he's not condemning it. He's not saying it's stupid. They want to tell you to follow the science. It is, again, follow the science if the science fits what we believe in. That is exactly why if you try to tell them to follow the science about a heartbeat means there's a baby, don't abort. They say, no. And then you have comedy. That's the only way I can come up with it, comedy. When you get Biden, like I say, wearing two masks while doing a Zoom call with leaders of other nations, they're not in the same room with him. If anybody's in the room, they could be at least 10 to 12 feet away from Biden. You know they could do that. And then he's walking through Arlington Cemetery with two masks on, nobody there, anywhere near him. He's been vaccinated. And then the other day when he had his State of the Union address behind him, Pelosi and Harris sitting there with their black mask on, Pelosi did allow Biden to take his off. She had a rule in the House, you have to keep it on, but she allowed it off. But then the most stupid thing I've seen, the most stupid, up to point, VP Harris leaving the first husband, they're both wearing masks. They're both wearing masks, and they lean over and kiss each other with the mask on. They're both vaccinated. They live together. Do you think they live at the house with the mask on? Come on. But it's projecting the image. You got to keep the mask. Even if you're going to lean over and kiss your spouse that you probably earlier were with and you didn't have the mask on. You thought this hour was great? You stand by for hour number two.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.